Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. Your window on the world opens up today on the very last day of the year, so stay tuned as we talk about motivation. Welcome, everyone.
Woohoo!
Welcome.
Thank you. It's great to be here. Happy New Year.
Bill, it's not New Year's yet, but it's coming up soon. That's right. And this is the very last day of 2013. Thank you all for coming. It's been a great year in advance, hasn't it? I hope you've all advanced in your English and that your motivation will carry you through to next year. Bill, what do you think?
Yeah, I'm excited about it because it is the last day of the year, and we're going to help our listeners and readers set some things up to get ready for 2014.
And Linda, what do you think about this 31st?
Well, it's a great last day of the year, and I'm so glad I can be on Advance today and talk about the truth about motivation and about what we're going to do in 2014.
Right, and I think, you know, that Catherine did a good job in choosing this article because it has to do with something that's very important to people at the end of the year. So, Catherine, why did you choose this article for the last day?
Well, because I think it has some very manageable tips for everyone. Because like we've said, New Year's is we always choose resolutions and things we want to change. And this brings it down to a level that actually makes these changes possible, you know, over the long haul, like we talked about yesterday.
Yeah, there are some really good reminders in here and also some things that maybe people didn't think about. Mm-hmm. For instance, Doris, yesterday, the first tip says, make your bed.
Hey, Bill, I was just going to ask you whether you got up and made your bed this morning, but I didn't want to do that on the radio.
I wonder if that's a New Year's resolution for Bill.
That's my New Year's resolution. Make my bed. Yeah.
Okay. Well, it's a very interesting article anyway, and I hope that you'll enjoy it as we discuss it together and learn some new words. Sometimes there's obstacles that has to do with, Advance is too hard. But forget that. You know, be disciplined and stay with us for the coming year.
That's right. And we're going to talk about three more tips today.
Right. Where are we going to start, Bill?
Well, today we're going to start with tip number three. It says, make it automatic.
Three, make it automatic. Focus on ways to make it easier to do the right thing. If you have chips and cookies in your home, throw that stuff away. Go buy some healthy food. When you come home tired from an awful day of work, you're likely to be discipline depleted, and simply removing the bad option is going to help you so much in doing the right thing. Also, make sure that you stick with a focus for long enough to make it stick and make it a habit. For example, if you are trying to get into the habit of working out, then you need to spend 3 months of focusing on that before you add anything else to your I am changing this about me list.
So we're going to start with make it automatic. I think that's our third point to being disciplined. And making it automatic means doing it long enough, right, so that it becomes a habit in your life. And I think that the first thing it says here is very interesting. Focus on ways to make it easier to do the right thing. And if things are easier, then we do tend to stay with it. Well, again, remember, a lot of this is about eating and exercise.
And money.
Okay. So if you have chips and cookies in your home, throw that stuff away.
Or give it to your neighbors. Don't throw it away.
Or have a party.
Try to do something with it.
Or eat it.
Go out and buy some healthy food.
Yeah, and what the writer is saying, that what happens is a lot of times if things are sitting in our kitchen, in our refrigerator, sweet treats, stuff like that, we will eat them if they are sitting there.
Have you got any sitting in yours, Bill?
You know, my refrigerator is surprisingly barren.
Okay. Well,
I have a very boring refrigerator.
Do you eat out a lot?
I've got this habit. I eat lunch out. And for dinner, I actually just eat fruit. So I really, mm-hmm. I don't eat out a lot necessarily. Yeah.
Oh, well, that's a pretty good habit.
It's a habit. It was not always the case, but it's become a habit as I've gotten older.
But I think what Catherine said earlier is true. 7-Eleven is just down the street.
That's true. There's too many instant places to get food. But when you come home tired sometimes, and even if it isn't an awful day of work, you know, even if you work very hard and it's not an awful day, you still might feel kind of a little bit, you know, hungry. You said depleted means, well, I've worked very hard. Now it's time for me to reward myself. Do you ever feel that way?
You know, I think this is probably, to me, this defines me. This sentence defines me.
And a lot of people, right?
I think so. Because when you come home tired, yeah, you want to be rewarded for your hard day of work mm-hmm. or for how tired you are.
Or pick up for the evening.
Right. Yeah. So what do? We open the cupboard and look for me, it's different for different people. Either chips, some kind of snack to tide me over till dinner.
Yeah. Something comforting maybe to make you feel better.
Another term I'm thinking of here, synonymous with discipline depleted, might be weak moment.
Yeah, that's true. That's a very good one. Mm-hmm. You have kind of a weak moment. Think, well, I think I'll just have a little bit of this right now just to pick me up.
Sure. Or I'm thinking of, for instance, we might be like in a grocery store or some of these other stores. We go there for something else. I go in to buy milk. And then while I'm waiting, there
soft
is
ice
a
cream.
Chocolate bar.
Soft ice cream.
Right near the counter where I'm getting paid.
You're very smart.
I buy
marketing.
It. And that's a weak moment, right?
Yeah, that's right.
So, you know, it's not one of the tips here, but one of the things they say is never, ever go to the grocery store hungry because you will buy everything you see.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's true. I do that a lot occasionally. Yeah, I'll go and I always want to go to the grocery store for first thing in the morning, and that's when I'm at my hungriest, and I just walk in there and.
And you see all that, and it looks so good.
Yeah.
Well, if you're in some countries like Germany or something, you go on the street and they have fresh bread. They just baked. You can smell it all the street.
Oh, yeah.
Just out of the oven. How can you resist that early in the morning?
That's why I'm never going to Germany again.
I know. They have so many good things to eat in the morning, and they put them out there and, you know, can't resist them, Bill.
Mm-hmm. They're very tricky, aren't they?
Yeah, that's right. But,
like
you know,
that.
If you're disciplined, then remember it's going to take you about 3 months to focus before you say, I'm changing this. So don't try to change overnight. That's the whole focus of this paragraph, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in fact, this one term, make it stick, I had underlined, Doris. So it's a good idiom for people. Make it stick. That means to make something.
Make it last.
Last, that it becomes part of your routine. So when we make mm-hmm. it stick, you'll do it without thinking.
So that becomes a habit then.
Mm-hmm. Right. 3 months. Seems like so long.
Well, you know, some people I think are different. Some people can make a habit faster. Some might take 6 months. So you kind of have to judge by your own self, too, because everybody's different.
Right. And also I think part of it is that it takes a while. If a person is not – this is especially, it says, for working out. And if people are not used to working out, it's very, very difficult to get off the couch and go out and do it. But when you start feeling better, then you're – liable to keep doing it.
Mm-hmm. And I think that that's a great point is that a lot of times when I decide, okay, I'm going to start working out, I always forget that it does take 3 months to change. And so if I go a couple weeks and I work out and then I miss a workout or two, I get really, really mad at myself because I forget that I haven't formed the habit yet. So it's really important to remember that it takes 3 months to make these things really happen.
Well, and like Linda just said, she said something about, well, you know, it makes you feel better. But sometimes we don't get the results as quickly as we'd mm-hmm. like. It's very easy for us to say, well, I don't feel any better. I've been doing this for 3 weeks and I don't feel any better. And then we give up.
Right. And I also think we need to be careful about overdoing it. You know, we say, okay, I'm going to exercise every day, every day. Most people won't do that. I mean, at least pick 5 days or 4 or 5 days of the week to establish your habit. We set our goals sometimes way too high. We set ourselves up to fail.
That's
and we
true.
Need to be
yeah.
careful not to do that.
But you do have to kind of make it automatic. And I think that just means make it a habit. So mm-hmm. first you have to make your bed. Then you have to decide which things are the most important. And the third thing is to make them a habit. Those are the three things we've talked about so far.
You've got a habit of exercising, I think, on a pretty regular basis. And how long have you been doing that, Doris?
Well, actually, it's not so much a habit. It's just that I like to get up and do a little exercise in the morning while I check on our TV programs while I'm watching them, while I'm exercising. So I'm doing two things at one time. I'm multitasking early in the morning.
Like most women do.
Yes.
How did that become a habit? Because I know you do it all the time.
Well, I usually do that because I feel that that way, well, it'll keep my muscles strong and, you know, and you get used to it. It's just one of the things you do, like brushing your teeth in the morning and making your bed, right? But, you know, I don't think I've ever done the fourth one, though, Bill.
Well, this is a really good point, and we're going to talk about it here after our reading. Write it down and review often.
Let's read that.
Four, write it down and review often. You're busy. You've got too many other things fighting for your attention and time to realistically expect that you will remember what disciplines you were trying to install in your life at the end of a chaotic week. Write it down and put it somewhere where you will automatically look at it, like the fridge, the sun visor of your car, your screensaver, next to your bathroom mirror, etc.
So our fourth point says to write it down and review often. Does anybody actually do that?
Yeah, I try to, whenever I'm planning out my week, I always write down the nights that I'm planning to, say, go work out. And I'll, you know, plan it out on Monday morning so that I can't get out of it, basically.
I'm hit or miss on this. Sometimes I write things down, sometimes I don't. I'm not consistent with it.
I think I do it in my mind. Does that count?
I don't. Well, I don't know.
Make a mental note of it.
Well,
that's what
no, but
said.
I do.
No, I write some things down.
Oh,
yeah.
I
write little
do it
notes
that
to
day.
Myself to remember to.
Oh,
do
I do
this.
That.
I write notes all over the place, but I don't, you know, write down. Be sure and exercise or something like that. You know.
No, because some things like that have become a habit. But one of the things I do, and I think this point is really great, and when I am meeting with students, Doris, I actually will go through an exercise with them. And I'll give them a sheet of paper, and I will ask them to write down their goals for 1 year, 5 year, and 10 years, and just three goals for each category.
10 years is too long, Bill.
Well, they can dream about different things, owning a home, having a family, things like that. But most people never write this stuff down, and it's unlikely they're ever going to accomplish this thing. If we just have this stuff kind of floating out there, it never really anchors us to anything.
Mm-hmm. But this really has to do with what you're trying to make a habit in your
That's
life.
True, yeah.
I mean,
well,
that,
you're busy, of course.
Right.
You're busy.
That's a good business kind of skill that you're teaching people.
Right.
But this is supposed to hit home about showing you how you are disciplined in your life.
Well, don't you think this that you've got too many other things fighting for your attention? That seems to be one of our problems.
I could use that excuse.
You could use that excuse, right? What kind of things fight for your attention? You've got to get the magazine out and, you know.
Life.
Family things.
Life.
Living, right, right. Okay.
Husband, kids, things like that. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, those kids that don't live here are so demanding.
Yeah, that's right. Well, you have to realistically expect. Now, to be realistic really is not easy because sometimes we try to do too much. And there's so many things, and we say, hey, I can't do all that. Let's be realistic about it. Let's find out what we actually can do.
Right. I agree. I think Katie has a good point. She puts it into her schedule.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that way, I mean, like I said before, it makes it more concrete. It's actually something I have to do at the end of work every day, and then it actually becomes something I enjoy doing. So I think that writing it down really, really helps.
Okay. Well, some people might want to do that. But,
well,
you know,
I think the thing that I noticed that Katie was saying is that she puts it in her schedule.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like for couples that are trying to, like, go on a date if you're married, they say go on a date like once or twice a month. If you put that into your schedule and turn down everything else, then you'll have it built in, just like exercise.
Mm-hmm. You may even have to put dates on your schedule? Well, that's something, isn't it, Bill?
Yeah, I think that's actually a really great thing, for especially for married couples,
okay,
to remember that,
that's
to write down, hey, we're going to go on a date on the 15th of next month.
Okay. Other people, you just go on them whenever you feel like it, right?
Well, what happens is they after a while, they don't then.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
In other words, take your wife out to dinner, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, sometimes we have a very busy week, and not only busy, but we say han fu zha in Chinese, and we call that chaotic. That's a very interesting word. It's spelled C-H-A-O, but it's spelled chaotic. Isn't that an interesting word? It seems to be going on.
It's very descriptive.
What does it actually mean?
Well, it means to be in a state of – well, I love futsa. I think that's a great word.
Mm-hmm.
And it means to be in a state of confusion and things are not orderly. So sometimes we plan out our week, but it's not like that at all.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And then you can, you know, write it down. You notice here there's a refrigerator here, a picture of a refrigerator, and there's a little note on there. And you can put the note there. Where else could you put the note?
Well, the next place it says in the magazine is the sun visor of your car. And if you drive all the time, then that's a good place to put it. The sun visor is that piece that you can fold down to keep the sun from shining in. Mm-hmm. Usually it's folded up against the ceiling of your car.
I don't think I'd ever look there for mine, would you?
Well, you keep your CDs there.
Oh, okay.
You might also, especially like at work,
yeah,
put it up somewhere, like at your desk or on your work cubicle or something like that. A lot of people work in cubicles, so it's a great place to put it up.
That's
maybe
true.
Right to the right or left of your computer monitor.
And some people put it next to their bathroom mirror so they see it the first thing in the morning. Where do you put yours, Katie?
I have a little weekly calendar that sits right in front of my keyboard so that every Monday I come in and I write down the dates and what I have to do. So that way I see it almost every moment of the day, and it really gets into my head that, okay, you have to do this. You have to do this at this time and everything.
Well, I have a schedule. I mean, you can have mm-hmm. a schedule that you put there, and it's kind of like putting it on your schedule, I guess, really.
Probably. I make notes in that I think I'm going to forget and put them on my screensaver,
mm-hmm.
you know,
that's
or on my computer. I just
– right.
So I don't miss them.
Well, you know, those are 4 points, and I guess you might have other points. This is just the one that this author wrote about. But I think it's important for us to realize that whatever we do, we have to mean it. Now, remember, motivation is actually kind of a feeling. And sometimes you feel quite strongly about something, and sometimes you don't. If you don't mean it, then you're not accountable. So let's just read the section about being accountable before we talk about our resolutions for the coming year. Let's read it now. Be accountable.
Five, be accountable. Tell the positive people in your life what you are trying to get done and ask them to call you out when they see you fall short of your commitments. Real friends love you enough to hold you accountable. If motivation shows up, that is a huge bonus, but you can't control that. You can, however, control your discipline, and that is where all of your results will come from.
Okay, Doris, this is kind of like the follow-up on all of these things. The first four tips that we talked about were about getting us started, but now we're discussing being accountable, and this is the ongoing responsibility.
Well, maybe we should ask Bill next year, which is just a couple of days from now, about he's still making his bed, and make him be accountable. What do you think?
Okay, we'll check on it tomorrow morning.
Well, we might not be here for New Year's Day. Remember, we get the day off.
Oh, true. But I think we'll still be on the radio, right?
Oh, well, yeah. But, I mean, we won't see Bill then. He'll be out sometime.
I still have to make my bed.
All right. That's good. But being accountable, you know, just is kind of fun to joke around a little bit. But, you know, you have to tell positive people that are helpful. Tell your friends and ask them to help you so that they can really be a support for you.
Right. I think first of all, one of the key words here is tell positive people, because they're the encouragers in our life, mm-hmm. right? And they want to see you succeed.
Some people say, oh, you'll never make it. Now, those aren't the kind of people to tell, right?
Right. Right. So you want to talk to the positive people and also tell them what you're trying to get done. And if you have never carried through on something, if you tell negative people, they'll look at you like, yeah, you're never going to do that.
Right.
So you want to encourage yourself. Right. I think a lot of people could say that to me. And then ask them to call you out when they see you fall short.
You know, yesterday we had choose your battles. This one, I'd say, is
choose your friends
wisely. You're surrounded by some good people.
Yeah, real friends, you know, that really say they love you and care about you, they'll hold you accountable. They'll say, now remember, you said you weren't going to do that, and here you're doing it. Oh, why did you have to remind me? But anyway, that's what real friends do.
Well, one other thing I think is really good is maybe here, whenever you tell people about what you're doing, also try to find like a partner to go through this with you.
That's true.
Like myself, I have two people that I exercise with like 3 or 4 times a week, and it becomes more of a get together. So I don't cancel on them, which means that I always get my exercise
in.
That's true. So that's another good way to hold yourself accountable. You hold each other accountable.
That's true. That's true. Mm-hmm. If I ever go on a diet, which we have to do every now and then, you know, then I say, well, I don't want to do it by myself. Mm-hmm. If you do it with somebody else, you can say, oh, I'm kind of hungry, aren't you? But let's not eat. So you do it with somebody, it kind of strengthens your motivation.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Doesn't it?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's good to know, yeah. So, you know, you can't actually control everything, but you do need to start becoming more disciplined and making it a habit, I think.
Yeah, I do too. And for food, I mean, we're talking about diets. Another discipline to have if you really want to go on a diet is to write down everything you eat. So mm-hmm. we go back up to write it down and review it. But mm-hmm. if you have to write, I guess there have been studies done on this and it says if you write down what you eat, it's amazing what you won't eat.
Mm-hmm. It's amazing what you do eat when you write it down.
Or it could be a shock factor if you write everything down. You're horrified by what you eat.
And then you stop eating it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, and I really like that point up there. As far as things fighting for your attention, and I think this is really important in today's world, Doris, because especially with our phones and our iPads and other tablets, we get incredibly distracted. And I don't think anybody realizes how much time we actually waste in a day. Pretty much just kind of surfing around the internet, scrolling through Facebook, sending messages.
Well, you might not waste it. I mean, you get the news and you get, you know, it's kind of interesting to do that. But it does make your life a little more chaotic, actually.
Well, you know, I see a lot of people just playing games all day. And you know, I think if we... Linda mentioned a good thing about writing down what we eat. I would suggest people write down how much time you spend each day on internet activities or gadget activities that are not constructive, and maybe do that for a month and just see how much time you're spending on this. I think a lot of people would be shocked.
Are you saying games aren't constructive?
Well, some are, you know. But, you know, this is the end of the year, and I hope you can all have a nice New Year's. And I know that we're going to be making some resolutions, but make them automatic and let them become habits, but also enjoy the holidays. And we know you'll all want to join us next year, but we do have a skit before we go.
So, Stan, how's everything at work?
Rick, your advice to me about choosing my battles was so helpful. I discovered that my angry behavior was sabotaging my career.
Really? I am glad to hear that you're aware of this, Stan. That takes a lot of willpower to admit one's character flaws.
Oh, yes. I realize that my energy is finite, and I was wasting it on a lot of senseless arguments with people that were important to me and my career.
Well, posting something on your Facebook page, letting the world know that you're disappointed in your boss, is not good in the long haul for your career.
You're so right. So, after talking to you, I took the post down and then posted a picture of me hugging my boss.
That's a step in the right direction, Stan. But you might want to check with your boss to see what he thinks about that.
Oh, he told me it was no big deal. So it's still on my wall. Do you want to see it?
Maybe later, Stan. How about Joanna, the young lady who spilled coffee on your desk and then you reported her to the HR department? For doing a poor job of cleaning?
I called the HR department and told them to let her off the hook. I realized that I overreacted to her accident and was pretty harsh in judging her.
Wow! Hey, this may sound like a cliche, but I think you've turned over a new leaf.
I have, Rick. In fact, instead of being angry at Joanna, I decided to ask her to marry me.
Now, that sounds a bit chaotic there, Stan. I'm sure she was stunned.
She said, yes, we're getting married tomorrow.
On New Year's Day?
It's a great way to start the new year, yes?
Congratulations, Stan, and Happy New Year.
Woohoo! All right, well, hey, Doris, you know, I'm going to talk about maybe a resolution of mine for this year coming up, and maybe other panelists might be interested, but I would say for me, one thing I need to change is my schedule. I go to bed too late, and I'm usually going to bed at midnight, 12:30, around that time, and it actually...
You don't get enough sleep that way, Bill. Well, I'll check up on
That's
you
right.
because we're friends, and
yeah.
we'll check it out. What about you and Linda? Do you have any resolutions or not? Not very many, huh?
My resolution is really to continue eating more healthily.
And what about you, Catherine?
Kind of along those same lines. I want to eat better, but I also want to start cooking for myself. So my goal is to maybe cook dinner at home 2 or 3 times a week, a healthy meal.
You know, we all have our own personal resolutions that we're going to do, but I also think that as editors and studio classroom teachers and advanced teachers, we would like to make a resolution that we want to help you more with your English next year. And I hope that you'll enjoy the lessons and things that we've prepared, and we hope that you'll keep in touch. So let's try to keep in touch with those that are our listeners next year, all that we can.
Right.
And have a great year ahead. Have a happy new year, everyone. Happy new year.
Happy new year.